You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, let's get it. Fox Football Sunday. One game already in the books. Couple of bye weeks. Yeah, another London game. And you know what? For you fantasy football owners, wake up. Wake up. You got 25 minutes to get your lineup in for this early game because we got live football today. Yeah, I lamented it last week. My partner here mocked me saying, it's only because you're a Bears fan. No, I'm jacked up, and I've got Tampa and Carolina, and I'm jacked up here. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister with you here for week 6 in the National Football League. Oh, it goes by oh so fast, but I'm seeing the warm-ups of Jameis Winston. I'm seeing all the London luminaries, right? All these actors on the field getting their photo opportunities, guys going and shaking hands, kissing babies in the crowd. It's a beautiful thing. How are you, George?
Man, this is wrong.
Why is it wrong?
This is wrong. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Do you understand that people you have kids?
Yeah.
You have a job. Don't you like to be able to like sleep in or maybe go to church?
I haven't slept in 14 years.
Do something besides get up and watch football at 6:30 in the morning, dude. That turns your immediate fun experience into a job. I mean, this is just like when they decide to have a baby, and instead of just doing their normal thing and a baby pops up, this is the time when it turns into a job. When it's like, hey, honey, it's 3:00.
Oh, you're on the clock?
Yeah. I'm ovulating. Like, come on, man. Like, this is what football at 6:30 in the morning is. It is completely wrong. It is too early. How the hell are you supposed to tailgate for this? How are you supposed to, I mean, who makes the nacho dip? Who gets the pizzas ready?
No,
who's
this is,
cooking
this
for
is
this?
Where you have a breakfast bar together, man. Breakfast burritos. You could put up one of those giant griddles of hash browns going. I mean, this is easy.
No, you're going to be up watching the game all by yourself.
No, come on. This is, you have sleepovers, have your friends over from the drunken fest of the night before. You're still groggy. You don't have to move.
So you
just turn on the TV.
So
hey,
you think that the 100 million football fans in the United States, obviously that's not, everybody doesn't watch every single game, but that's people who
should.
Like football.
Yeah.
You think that they're getting up to watch this game, or do you think that they are going to wake up and be like, oh man, I forgot that
there's going to be a lot of, I forgot that this game was on.
And they're not going to be mad they didn't wake up.
Yeah, for me, it was just about the, you know, what network it was on, right? Because that would affect our jobs a little bit, right? If it's a Fox game, hey, all of a sudden it's bonus George and Mike time here on Fox Sports Radio. But, well, we have the NFL Network. Excited to see the production here. I just love football, and it's an isolated game, so it'll be over before the next kickoff, so you can actually pay attention, and I can check it off as a off the box of a game I've already watched.
You are the reason why the NFL is on Thursday. The NFL is on Monday nights, and then toward the wintertime, you'll have some Saturday games too. And you are the reason why that the NFL is trying to expand to 18 games, put games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, seven days a week. No, man, that's the charm of football, is that there is a limited quantity of it. And if you give too much, it's like supply and demand. Eventually, you run into a diminishing return
But it is still a Sunday game, George. I mean, this isn't...
This is not a Wednesday game.
This is a Sunday game. It's Sunday afternoon in jolly old England.
Dude, this is like me, where I am a tennis fan. So I will wake up sometimes to watch the Australian Open at 4:00 in the morning, or if there's a big, or the Olympics, I'll wake up for that because it's the charm of it. It only happens so often, either once a year, once every 4 years. But we're supposed to wake up this early, four to five times a year? Come on, man. This is ridiculous, Mike.
4 to 5 times out of your 365, a glorious standalone game, a showcase for these Buccaneers and Panthers.
Who are you going to text about this?
My family's either in the Midwest or on the East Coast, so they're going to be up.
If you get an amazing game.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to text people and be like, hey, yo, are you watching this game? No, you're not going to be able to text people.
I'll be able to text them. Whether they respond is their problem.
They'll
probably ignore me anyway.
The proper way to do this, the London football games, is the way it was last week with the Bears and the Raiders. The game should start at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern time, the same way all the rest of the games start, because you need to cater to the crowd who's going to actually be watching the games. They're trying to expand it out in London. So a 1 o'clock game, yes, it's a little late in London. There'd be a 9 o'clock kick. A 9 p.m. kick. But so what, man? You want the eyeballs watching. There's no way this game is going to do great ratings. There's no way. It's just too early in the morning. And the NBA wants to – I'm sorry, the NFL wants to
don't
sell
Don't even start the NBA. They got their own problems. We don't have time for that this morning. We got too many other things to discuss. NBA's got its whole other hornet's nest and billions of dollars at stake right now.
Wow.
Guys sticking their feet in their mouth. I mean, all sorts of things going on there. But we'll get into that another time.
Careful what you tweet.
No, that's right. At George Reister on Twitter. I'm over at Swollen Dome. And what seemed like an innocuous tweet, just a little bit of a political – showing of support becomes a multi-billion dollar discussion. But we've had that all week on Fox Sports Radio. Our business is the National Football League, and the week ahead, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for our free rate quote. So that's where we start. Let's get our first game rolling. Lady, what do you think?
Panthers and Buccaneers.
Now, here we go. When we look at this, you got a two-point spread. Tampa getting to in London, over-under sitting at 47.5. And time aside, George, I got a bigger problem with this game.
What?
Is the fact that you've sent a division game to London. Right? We talk about the importance of division games, home field advantage, whatever, and you've taken a home game away and sent it to London. I have a bigger problem with that than the start time.
Well, you got to remember, too, is that teams, they get a benefit from going to London. They negotiate it because there are teams that don't want to go on Hard Knocks, and sometimes they go to London. I mean, there are all type of these.
Oh, no, there's a lot of backdoor deals. Absolutely.
Yes, with the owners. So you know that they gave something up or they got something good for putting a division game out there. So I would not feel sorry for Tampa Bay or the Panthers, because the truth is they have an equal opportunity. Whether the game is played at their home field, whether it's played on Mars, or whether it's played in London.
You've just diminished the value of a home field advantage.
It's a neutral
just
site game.
It out.
It is a neutral site game, so both teams have an equal opportunity. It's not geographically more desirable for either team. Their fans are not more likely to be there, and it'd be a home game for the other one. This is just an exhibition game for the people of London that just so happens to count in the standings. So don't give me this cry ball attitude about, oh, it's a division game. Go win your doggone game.
Well, you still got to go out and win the game. It's just the point, if we're going to talk about the importance and the sanctity of taking care of your division, which is always the mantra, right? Take care of your division, the rest of it falls into place, right? The way we do schedules. Just giving that up for cash considerations. Obviously, everybody gets paid. That's why Jacksonville was so eager to say, yeah, we'll do it. I mean, you were in Jacksonville. You know that deal. But we got Kyle Allen thus far, 5 touchdowns, 0 picks on the year. Christian McCaffrey, all world, except the last time he faced the Buccaneers. They did a good job holding him to just 53 total yards of offense. We look at it overall, he's far and away your leader in touches. 44% of the offense right now for the Carolina Panthers.
McCaffrey. If this were the NBA, his usage rate would be like 80%. Okay, here's the interesting stat for you. That Christian McCaffrey, the last 3 games, has had over 175 yards from scrimmage. And if he does it today, this will be the 4th game, and it'll match an NFL record set by Edgerrin James in week 8 through 11 in 1999.
Edgerrin James. Put him in the Hall of Fame already.
He should be. But like you said, they did hold Christian McCaffrey down last time, 53 total yards, but that was in week 2. Cam was still around, and now you got your boy Kyle Allen slinging the ball around, trying to take Cam's job, dude. We have a budding quarterback controversy in Carolina, because especially if this team is continuing to win, I don't know how they put him on the bench.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, Cam was diminished. You're telling me just a couple of weeks he's going to be back and running around? Forget about it, whether the foot, ankle, that shoulder was still showing issues when he was playing in the first 2 weeks of this season. The number of missed throws, under throws, 47 footers. You know, it was like a baseball pitcher, you know, throwing that 56 footer. No, it's 66.
Yeah, man.
60 feet, 6 inches. You got to get the ball out to your guy in the flat. I mean, remember that possession, right? Samuel breaks free, just clear as day. He can't just lob him the ball. That shoulder's still an issue. So, yeah, Kyle Allen's played very well. Error-free football, winging it around. You got a guy playing with that kind of efficiency. You know, we've got a few of these over the course of the next few weeks that are going to be interesting to see how their teams play out. The Buccaneers, you got Godwin, you got Mike Evans, who's either been great or non-existent three times. He's fallen outside of your top 45 scorers when you get into the fantasy world. Still settling on the running back situation. Ronald Jones, big in spots. We talked about O.J. Howard a lot, waiting to see if he ever answers the bell consistently and becomes the red zone threat they want. But Jameis Winston playing better football, not error-free football. We know he's still going to make his errors along the way, but I like the fact that he's got the attitude. They seem to have flipped the script, at least with Bruce Arians, is that he doesn't go into the shell like he used to. He keeps playing. So I'm taking the Buccaneers to win this game in London Town. I'll take a nice narrow field goal victory.
The Buccaneers are 2-point dogs in this game.
Yes, they are.
And it is a home game for them, so they should have the home field advantage.
Oh, boy.
I'm taking the Carolina.
You can't even say that with a straight face. I like that,
though. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. I think they're playing really good football right now. I love Cam Newton, but I also love the story of a guy when he gets his opportunity. You know, it's like the old Wally Pipp story.
Sure.
You know, and that's how you know Lou Gehrig, whether Wally Pipp was hurt or whether he was, you know, just felt like taking a day off, depending on how the legend tells it. Lou Gehrig came in, never got back out of the lineup. You don't know who Wally Pipp is. You know who Lou Gehrig is.
Yeah, well, it's going to be curious to see going forward, right, with Kyle Allen's emergence, not only the Cam Newton side of it, right? Next year they can get out of his contract. There's only $2 million of dead money. So that's easy to bounce him. You got Will Greer, a guy you drafted this year. So the question is, does he become a trading chip with Kyle Allen and you just draft another quarterback? Right, and just move on. Just in terms of roster situation going forward.
What pick was Will Greer?
He was in the third round, I believe.
Okay, so Will Greer has value, but not that much value.
Oh, no.
Because he hasn't stepped on the field yet.
Right.
This isn't like a Josh Rosen situation where you have some film on him and a team may say, okay, he was just in a bad spot. We'll give him an opportunity. But Will Greer, you're saying, hold up. He couldn't even make the backup spot in Carolina. So how much value does he have? He was a third stringer.
Well, we'll bring that back because Dwayne Haskins might be that Josh Rosen next year. But we'll get into that a little bit.
Oh wow. He was bad, dude.
Well, but that's the thing. He's going to have a guy. I mean, we'll get that battle. I mean, we'll be previewing very briefly Washington and Miami coming up a little bit later
the
on.
Toilet bowl.
Very, very briefly. As I told you, Jay Gruden was not going to be coaching this week. And what happened? They told him at 5 a.m., come in and get your stuff.
I can't believe that, dude.
But we'll get into that a little later in the show. We got rugby on. We got college football highlights. And, yes, we're 15 minutes away from actual NFL action. We continue our preview of the games. This is Fox Football Sunday. I'm Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. Come along for the ride with us at Swollen Dome, at George Reister on Twitter. We get back into the games next here on Fox. Welcome back in. Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside 6-year NFL vet, former Oregon Duck. Friday night, he celebrated in a big way. My guy, George Reister.
Dude, I was nervous because Pac-12 games, Friday
Pac-12
night game,
after dark, anything can happen.
Weirdo stuff starts happening. Oregon was playing Colorado, so I was nervous. I was sitting on pins and needles, but they came out and put the screws to them boys, 45-3.
And then you recognize that Colorado couldn't stop the two of us and nine guys.
Colorado.
We could take Chris and Vince and Ilo, grab six guys off the street, and we could probably put up 30 against that D right
now. I expected their defense to be really bad, but I didn't expect – I've been pleasantly surprised by Oregon's defense. Like, people for so many years, they lamented the defense. Oh, they're terrible. They don't play defense. But now it is amazing to watch. I'm like, I love this defense thing even better watching the offense play.
See,
just don't give me Iowa's offense, though. Just don't give me
No. Look, defense, special teams, you got two-thirds of it. Offense, when you're going out every week and one play, like literally one play, beats you, whether it's a fluke play, whether it's a well-designed run or pass, the fact that they cannot score has got to be the most frustrating thing. If you're an Iowa fan, our buddy Iowa Sam, who's on the ones and twos a little later here on Fox Sports Radio, I'm sure he was dying a little bit with each possession.
Yeah, but it's always amazing to me when you have NFL teams that play like that. Like, there are some times that I was kind of part of that for a little bit in Jacksonville,
sure,
where we had the number one defense in the league, but our offense was not cared about, nurtured, and invited to thrive on that same level. They wanted to play like Jack Del Rio wanted to play, like the Ravens played in 2000 when they had Trent Dilfer at quarterback. It's okay if we don't score a touchdown for five games. We'll still win. But this year, though, if you're looking at teams that kind of play like that now, you would have to say that's the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, occasionally the offense opens up, but you can't expect it on a week-to-week basis.
No. Expect 17, 20 points.
Yep.
Yeah, but don't expect an offensive explosion unless they get a special teams touchdown or unless the defense scores.
Something breaks through. All right, we're going to get back into the game in just a moment. But, hey, you want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Next game up.
Lady, what are you talking?
Saints at Jaguars.
All right, so as we look at the New Orleans Saints, Teddy Bridgewater, as you astutely pointed out, they're finally going to take some shots downfield, and downfield they went time and time again a week ago, and it was exciting to see that element of the offense added, right? Because the first couple of weeks, gutting it out, but yep, limited in terms of trying to push, spread the ball around, and look, if you can win that way, that's great too, right? Going back to your Jaguars or talking about the Ravens, but Teddy Bridgewater, they took whatever was left of the training wheels off, not to diminish anything that he is as a quarterback, but they actually tried 15 yards downfield. So you saw the success there. And against Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey still with the back injury. They were hoping to get him back in. But the Jaguars defensively giving up about 23.5 points per game. Alvin Kamara from last report will play, so anybody that was hopeful that their Latavius Murray lottery pick off their fantasy bench was going to pay off, not going to do it. But Jacksonville just one interception on the season, and Teddy doesn't turn the ball over much like Drew Brees when he's in there as well. So now it becomes the question of, can Gardner Minshew on this celebratory day, it is mustache day, and if you cut your jeans into jorts, you get a Gardner Minshew jersey. How's that for promotion pretty fast?
Dude, if you are Nick Foles, you have to be sitting there watching this like, wow. I mean, how do you feel about this? I mean, are you saying I'm watching this dude take my team from me when I finally got my own team? Finally. I mean, it's the first time he's been the guy since he was with Chip Kelly and had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in Philadelphia. So he's like, I got my shot, and now he's watching it fade away. But, every player wants to play, though. Like, and people are going to point to the fact that he got, what, $60 million guaranteed. They're going to say, oh, he'll be fine.
Be okay. Well, he'll be okay in one respect, but
players wanted to play.
The last pass he threw was a touchdown, for crying out loud.
But at the same time, Foles is a good guy, though. So, and Minshew's a good guy. So while he is, you know, selfishly wanting his own job, he's probably happy to see a guy who wasn't a high draft pick, who's a good kid, flourish as well. And I don't want Minshew mania to end, because I think it's good for the game. But at the same time, on the other side, I mean, this is just a game that's pulling at my personal heartstrings, because I admire a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who had that horrific knee injury, fights back, chooses to go to a situation where he can better and learn behind Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees, I think this is the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. So, and the better that Teddy Bridgewater plays, they have to start thinking about the future, because where does Bridgewater go next year? Do you let him go, or do you keep Drew Brees? How much do you pay him? This is getting like to tricky territory right now. And the Saints, you have the Jaguars, and you have the Carolina Panthers, all in quarterback situations where you're like, ooh, what do we do for the future? Because we have a guy, but now we might have a dude.
Right. No, that's the question. And we look at the New Orleans defense, 31 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. Leonard Fournette the last couple of weeks has finally found his stride. Jaguars favored by 2.5 at home. What say you?
Man. I'm betting with my heart and not with my head here. This is a big game for the Jaguars, because the Jaguars have their 25th annual, well, their 25th anniversary this weekend. I missed it to hang out with you.
Oh, Mike. Thanks, brother. Good to have you.
their 25th year anniversary celebration, had big gala, all of this. And so people are excited. The fans are excited. The team understands how big of a deal this is. I am taking the Jaguars at home as well. I don't necessarily love this 3 points, but I do think that this is the way that the game is going to end, though.
All right, so Jacksonville on both. That's where I'm at. Minshew mania continues. Can they keep Cam Jordan, who's got his own mustache? He has fashioned it brilliantly to try to rival that of Gardner Minshew.
That man has more than a mustache. He's got big muscles and great pass.
Favorite players not only to watch, but you get him on a microphone, that guy's got a 40-year career lined up when he's done, and he's hung him up, no question about it. George Reister, I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Time to go find out what's trending with Ilo just ahead of kickoff. We'll get back into the games momentarily. Hi, Ilo.
Hello, Michael and George. And that is what's trending. Kickoff moments away from London between the Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Carolina, a 1.5-point favorite according to pregame.com. Bucs linebacker Shaquille Barrett is active today. He had been questionable with an oblique injury. He leads the NFL with 9 sacks. One of the most amazing stories coming out of today's game involves Carolina backup defensive end Efe Obada. At the age of 10, he and his sister were abandoned on the streets of London. At the age of 10 years old, he grew up to become the first international player to make the NFL, and here he is returning to London as an NFL player for the Carolina Panthers. An incredible story. Yesterday in Major League Baseball, Game 1 of the American League Championship Series saw the Yankees shut out the Astros 7-0. Gleyber Torres, a home run, 5 RBI. Masahiro Tanaka got the win. He allowed one hit in 6 innings. Earlier Saturday in Game 2 of the National League Championship Series, the upstart Washington Nationals did it again. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals 3-1 for a 2-0 lead. Max Scherzer had a no-hitter going for 6 innings after Game 1 starter Anibal Sanchez had a no-hitter going for 7 2/3. In college football Saturday night, 5th-ranked LSU defeated number 7 Florida 42-28. 9th-ranked Notre Dame over USC 30-27 as Tony Jones ran for a career-high 176. And number 10 Penn State won at 17th-ranked Iowa 17-12. Michael and George, kickoff time in London approaches. Back to you.
Yeah, buddy, let's get it. I mean, we're just watching it here on our monitors in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, and it looked like the guy that was singing the national anthem needed a nap. That guy looked like he hadn't slept in a week. So good luck to him and to our crew here. We're all fighting through
like
in the middle of the night.
He was rode hard and hung up wet.
No, he had himself a nice night, a nice early day, and his tailgating had to be spectacular.
Yeah, that's not even a 5 o'clock shadow, dude. That is a full week's worth of man. I'm just chilling, man. I don't know. I mean, he looks like he came home from work and his wife had packed up the entire house and he had just been sitting in there all weekend just drinking brews and eating ice cream.
That's a tough way to go. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. You can go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Let's get back into the games. This one's going to be a quick one.
Lady, what is that?
Titans and Broncos.
I don't know how excited I am for this one, but it's one of 256, so I celebrate them all. The Broncos get the win last week against the beleaguered, banged up, spit, you know, chewed up and spit out Los Angeles Chargers because they are reeling. We'll get into them in a little bit here on the show. But Denver, after playing it close for a couple of games, finally broke through. They got that victory. Now at home against the enigmatic Titans, a team once again trying to figure out exactly what they are. Denver 22nd against the run, giving up about 126 yards per game. So this is where Derrick Henry has to be Derrick Henry. Both as a runner and get him out in space as a receiver has to be big. Denver using of the tight ends will be something we'll watch as well. But Cortland Sutton having himself a solid season, a bit quiet because Denver hadn't been winning. But yeah, you look at the numbers, they were moving the ball, and that's the thing. They've moved the ball effectively. Just a question of when things were going to click. Joe Flacco, not elite, but has been much better through five games than I think he would ever get credit for. Again, you start out 0-4. Oh. They moved the ball. They just couldn't finish the job,
not score touchdowns, you are not doing a Brandon good job McManus. As a quarterback, man.
Well, okay, then let's talk about your guy Marcus Mariota, who gives you one every four games.
That is a lie. He's got seven touchdowns already.
All right, three of them were in one game.
Stop it. Stop.
Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong.
That's just fact.
However, so he has seven touchdowns in five games.
Uh-huh.
He's having a decent start to the season.
Come on now, George.
Their offense is awful, though. As a whole, they're averaging under 20 points a game.
Yes, they are.
They are one of the worst in the NFL. Only the Broncos and the doggone Bengals are pretty much the only teams that are even at this level.
The Bengals, I'm going to go light a couple of candles for them.
The Broncos are averaging 18 points a game. I was looking at the under on this game. Guess what the under is sitting at?
38.5.
40.
Okay, we got 40. To 40. And it, I mean, so we broke 40. I wouldn't even have thought that.
The only way that games, just so you guys understand, that the under total is the total of the amount of points that both teams score. That's 40 points. That's where Vegas is setting this. And the only time that you get lines like this are in NFL games are when is if it is atrocious weather. And the weather's not even bad. Like, it's clear outside.
They did go from, 80 degrees to snowing in a matter of 8 hours the other day.
Yeah.
So Denver will do that to you. Look, we've already spent way too much time on this game. I'm going to take Denver to win at home.
No way, buddy. The Tennessee Titans march into Mile High. Damn the air and the thin air up there. Marcus Mariota throws two touchdown passes, and the Titans improve to 3-3.
You're going
to
die on that hill with Marcus Mariota. Next game.
Lady, what is that?
Steelers and Chargers.
All right, here's the one with the walking wounded. You want to talk about a game where you may need a scorecard to tell the players. For the Steelers, Devlin Hodges gets the start out of Samford. Not Stanford, Samford.
Which is in Alabama.
Yeah, that it is. So he's had himself a role going from what? Getting into a tryout, gets his $1,000 signing bonus. Like, it's the stuff of legend as you go. James Washington out in this one. You still have the question of whether Connor, what's going on with his leg? He plays, but how well does he play? For the other side, I mean, you just line them up. I mean, the Chargers, everybody's hurt. Hunter Henry somehow is back for this game, which just confuses me.
Dude, he broke his kneecap like 4 weeks ago.
This is one of those where I would really like the candid conversation with him going, how much pressure was put on you to play because of all the injuries for this squad? Okay. Because, I mean, you just go down the road. Man, there's so many guys hurt. Now you lose Pouncey to IR had to have neck surgery.
Yep.
Add that to all of the others. I mean, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, you know, those two guys will be getting after it, and you'll expect a bigger role for Gordon. I mean, the only thing that remains the same is you got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's there like the furniture. I mean, he doesn't get hurt. He's in that He's in that Tom Brady, Drew Brees category, even though the Drew Brees is hurt now. He hasn't missed any time.
Right.
I mean, even when he tore his elbow up, he only missed like a half a football.
Well, that's just it. Now he just slings an underarm, so yeah. It doesn't matter.
So this Chargers team is so banged up. But when you're in the NFL and you're down to your third-string quarterback, a guy who you haven't heard of, tryout guy, unless we're looking at Kurt Warner, a guy who, when Trent Green went down, comes out to turn out to be a Hall of Famer, you either have that sort of situation, which is one in a million, or you get what you normally get, which is bad quarterback play, can't get the ball to receivers, and if you're Juju Smith, you cannot expect a whole lot with James Washington out as well. So he's gonna get all the bracket coverage, all the double teams, and James Conner has not been special at all this season. He only has 194 rushing yards and two touchdowns. I can't see a situation where the Chargers don't win this football game. If they can't beat the Steelers with part of their defense out as well, you know, they got
right. Barron's going to be out, linebacker. So, yeah, you're missing bodies all over.
Yeah, so this is the war of the walking wounded, and I'm telling you, the Chargers are sitting at 2-3 right now. If they lose this game, they're not going to the playoffs. If they win this game, they have an opportunity to go. This is one of those pivotal games in the season where when you get a bad team that you're playing, you have to take advantage of it.
There you go. I'm going to take the Chargers to win. I think the even with Melvin Ingram a little bit banged up, you add Bosa, you add some of the pass rush, I think, will be too much for Hodges. Get a couple of turnovers. Defense rules the day today.
Are you laying all six of those points, though?
No, I can't.
I can't either.
I can't. No, I'll take the Steelers plus the six. But, yes, yeah, we already have a turnover in London. Jameis Winston doing Jameis Winston things. So, early possession here for Carolina, but a good stop here on a flare out to Christian McCaffrey, setting up a 3rd and 11. We'll keep you updated as this game rolls on. The frustration already on Winston's face, and George just shaking his head. He's George Reister, at George Reister on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we get back into the games. We've got so many more to preview. Cowboys, Jets will be next. Maybe we'll make that one brief as well. But there are some points to be made for this one. Because Sam Darnold's back! Oh, did I sell that too hard? That's next on Fox. Welcome back in Fox Football Sunday. Let me kick that frog out of my throat. Try that again. Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister having some fun with you. I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying. Just battling through, you know?
Dude, I just saw Mike Harmon's heart drop and his head just – he was dejected when he saw Jameis Winston's interception.
Because how pathetic a play was that?
Basic curl flat combo. It was a bad play call into a bad situation. He threw a bad ball. But the corner for Carolina just jumped.
No, it was a good jump.
Oh, if it had been a double move, Mike Evans would have walked in for a touchdown.
But how funny was it, though? We saw the still, right? So we pulled it up as we're sitting here, and the buffering in the studio, right? So it froze the screen as we're trying to watch the replay. And Luke Kuechly is standing by himself. He's like, please tell me he didn't throw the ball to Luke Kuechly. You said the same thing, and that's coming out of my lips. I was like, okay, at least tried to get it out to the edge a little bit, but wow, just an abysmal throw by Jameis Winston as they look to rally there. But 3-0, Carolina couldn't do much with the turnover, but they do get the field goal and take the early lead as we're in the first quarter in London. Yes, live NFL action. Wake up, people. Thanks for hanging out with us here and giving us a few minutes of your time, whether you're going to and from services, getting the breakfast ready, because now you're scrambling, realizing, no pun intended, that there is a football game to watch, getting that coffee brewing. We appreciate you being part of our family here. Isaac with Vince and Chris making us sound oh so pretty as we come to you from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Let's get back in the games.
Lady, what are you talking about?
Cowboys and Jets.
Now, on the surface, this doesn't look like much. And I think this is one that you and I could do about a half-hour deep dive because there's so many storylines, especially when you add the Cowboys to things. Sam Darnold back for the Jets. No C.J. Mosley. still banged up on that side of the ball. But they have played the run well, third against the run thus far in the NFL. And against the pass, really no slouches either. Still upper division. Problem is they've turned the ball over a ton. Luke Falk, thank you very much. You were the starting quarterback last week. Now we waive you.
That is incredible.
How about that?
I haven't seen that in a – I can't remember the last time I saw that. A guy who was the starting quarterback. Granted, he was the third stringer. And I've seen a case where a team keeps two quarterbacks in a roster and then they'll let the third guy go when they need another roster spot. I get that. But instead of that, the Jets, they brought in another guy last week and let go of Falk, who started last week, and for a guy who has not played.
Insanity. This is incredible. Right, and we've looked at that Dallas offense the last 2 weeks. To say they've struggled would be a gross understatement. We saw the game against the New Orleans Saints and put it up as an anomaly. Okay, fine. And then the Packers go out and absolutely boat race them. It looks nice and cosmetic on the back end, right? Dak Prescott gets some numbers in defeat, but it didn't matter. Those are non-pressure numbers. So what gives here? I mean, the Jets, I don't expect greatness from the offense, but can they stifle and stymie this Kellen Moore and Dallas offense once again?
Man, how the mighty have fallen. Everybody was saying, oh, Dak Prescott.
Now, you've been here with me every week. What did I tell you?
You said
paper champions.
And remember, we were just counting money in the beginning of the season. $31 million, $32, $40 million. And now it seems like all that added value has fallen as fast as it came. Dude, the Cowboys are reeling right now. Back-to-back losses, lost to the Saints, lost to the Packers, and neither one was impressive at all. And I'm looking at the leaders in passing. Dak Prescott is actually in the top five right now in yards.
That's great.
He's got
a lot of empty yards last week.
he had a bunch of not empty interceptions, though.
Well, there's that, too. He was absolutely atrocious to get that game started.
But the number for Dallas and the person for Dallas that kind of has been the catalyst for this team and this offense has been Ezekiel Elliott. This season, he only has 85 touches compared to Christian McCaffrey, 105. I'm just talking about rushing totals. You got Marlon Mack has 101.
Yeah, the return of the Mack is a big deal.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, Fournette, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Chris Carson all have more touches than Ezekiel Elliott. And he is down around 10th in the league in rushing. For the Cowboys to be successful, Ezekiel Elliott needs to be up in that upper tier because you know they have the offensive line. So now at this point in time, are you questioning Ezekiel Elliott and how either hard or focused he is now that he's gotten his cash? Or do you have to look at Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, very young offensive coordinator. He's not that far removed from having his helmet on, and look at him and say, Is he really doing the job that we really wanted him to do? But, Mike, with this Cowboys team, I find it very interesting because the first 3 weeks of the season, everybody would say, everything's going so great in Dallas. Nothing's going wrong. They've cleared out the mess. Everything is fine. But this is the Dallas Cowboys. Calamity follows. And now they've dropped two games. Where's this team heading?
Well, that's it. You do some bum slang early on and put up some big points. Because that's what it's come to be, right? Schedule is what it is. You play who's on it. But then you got a decided step up in class when you're looking at New Orleans and Green Bay. And now this week against the Jets. I don't think it's a cakewalk. I think the Jets hang with them. You're looking at 7.5 is the number. I'm taking the Jets with the points. I'll take Dallas to win the game. But I think the Jets keep it close. And we're still doing some hand-wringing when this settles.
Oh, I 100% agree with you there. Just 2 weeks ago, Dallas was 3-0 on top of the division. The Giants, I don't think they had won a game yet.
Yep.
And Philadelphia was 1-2. So it looked like Dallas might be able to run away with the division, and now they're tied.
There you have it. Want to hear something amazing? Other than that, Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Let's get one more in. All right, so we're going to we'll push ahead, I guess, going into the next hour on the show. We got some catch-up to do, Falcons and Cardinals, the Redskins and Dolphins that will give the requisite minute and a half as we go. But Sam Darnold coming back, let's stay there for just a moment when we talk about the spleen, as it was concerned. I mean, you played 6 years in the league. How much does having to wear the extra padding, how much does that affect a guy as he's trying to throw the ball?
It's more mental than anything else.
Okay.
Like, because players want to feel comfortable, and you like to have the same equipment on and feel the way you do every single game. And when you can't do that, it becomes a mental barrier more than a physical barrier so much.
All right, so we'll watch him closely, see if Le'Veon Bell, who's been his best friend on social media. Welcome back, Sam. I get to play again.
Oh,
I get to get unleashed.
Too.
You want to talk about a guy? I don't know. He's probably sent him some flowers and some candy along the way. I mean, it is sweetest
if
day.
If you
one
can't
of these days,
throw
one
the ball, you
holidays.
Can't pass the ball.
No, it is a problem. Fox Football Sunday continues here on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in hour two of the program, Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister, excited to be here with you as we have live in living color real NFL football from across the pond, as they often say. I hate it, but we'll run the cliche because it makes sense. The Panthers, 3-0 lead over the Buccaneers, took advantage of an early Jameis Winston interception. Now Kyle Allen has him on the move, made a nice throw to Greg Olsen to get them closer to midfield. And the Panthers, Kyle Allen, the perfect football that he's displayed as the starting quarterback. Cam Newton, no matter how many scarves and jaunty hats he pulls out, might not be seeing his job again here, George. Impressive early going here for Carolina.
Oh, for sure. The worst thing that you can say about Carolina right now is their uniforms are dated and they need a refresh. this team is playing well.
Yeah, but that logo is fierce.
Yeah, it is. But I want to talk about Christian McCaffrey super, super quick. Because when he came out in that draft, he came out with Leonard Fournette and a few other guys. And I talked to a running back coach in the NFL who I trust. And I told him, I said, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the best back in this draft. No, he's not. Blah, blah. I mean, he tried to tell me everybody was a better. I was like, no, this dude is Marshall Faulk-like. 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Now, maybe I should be an NFL GM because everybody doesn't do a great job.
I'll tell you what, a bunch of guys might be losing their jobs after the jobs they're doing this year in 2019. You might get that resume updated there, George. At George Reister on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. We'll keep you updated on this game as we roll. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So visit geico.com. Get yourself a free rate quote. Time to get back into games.
Lady, what did you say?
Falcons at Cardinals.
Ah, one of the most disappointing teams in all of football. They were a Super Bowl contender.
No, they
That's
weren't.
What I was told. That's what I was told. Just like everybody tried to sell me on the damn Cleveland Browns. Fraudulent. We'll get into them in a little bit. But the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, more turnovers than we've seen. The run game, Devontae Freeman can't get it started. Ito Smith now up near a 50-50 split in workload. There you go, fantasy owners. Take that one as you roll through if you're waiting for that bust out from Freeman. You got Julio Jones. You got Calvin Ridley. You got my guy, Hooper! Hooper drives the boat. He also catches the ball down the seams. You got a lot of talent, but they are just not performing.
You said Hooper drives the boat?
It's out of Jaws, man. Come on.
Oh, okay.
The Richard Dreyfuss character?
I wasn't even born when Jaws came out.
It's been out for 40 years. You've not seen Jaws?
I know. I've seen Jaws like three times.
I'm just going to stab you with this pen.
I've seen Jaws
three
times.
I do not remember. That's one of the great lines in film history.
Dude,
come on.
If a movie comes out before you're born, you don't have that same love and affection, and it's not as quotable.
I was a year and a half, man. You're making me out like some old dude.
You sound like old get off my lawn curmudgeon man.
No,
right
that
now.
Was the I'm trying to bring you into culture, trying to give you a hug and say you should have laughed because you should have known the reference. Instead, you're looking at me like, wait, Hooper's their number one player? No.
Okay.
No, because that was the look you shot me like I didn't know who Julio Jones was. Come on now.
Man, you – listen, if you
– man,
if you have to explain the reference, it's a bad one. What did he play? Go play that again.
Shut up, old man. I ain't going nowhere.
You know that one?
Yes.
Were you born when that came out? No.
So?
So you just used the fraudulent argument me on one side. 2 minutes later, he plays that. I was like, oh, I know that one.
Hey,
we got a Mr. T look, thing the other day. I'll tell you that one
I
off
pity
there.
The fool. I love Mr. T, man. I used to watch the A-Team. That was my show. I used to watch the A-Team and the Mission Impossible.
See, I could tell how into this Falcons-Cardinals game because you're taking me down a B.A. Baracus home.
The Cardinals, I just want to point this out. The Cardinals have a better record than the Falcons.
And you know what? They're winning this game, too.
I totally agree with that. The Falcons are a dumpster fire, and I don't know if there's anything worse.
Dan Quinn's going to be hanging out with Jay Gruden on a golf course next week.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen any – well, has there been a worse week than – or a worse fan base to be a fan of than the Atlanta Falcons? Your team is tanking. Georgia loses to South Carolina. It's just been a bad week for the Atlanta Falcons and the Atlanta sports fans, because the only thing worse than being a Dodgers fan right now is being a Falcons fan.
No, that's about true. Christian Kirk not expected to go against the Falcons. Ankle injury slowing him. Some more Pharaoh Cooper. What a great first name. As you go, you still have Larry Fitzgerald, Old Reliable. David Johnson, even with the bacchiotomy, expected to go. And you got Chase Edmonds, who's an intriguing flex play, because there's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. I'm looking for Kyler Murray and company to win, extend the misery for the Falcons. Matt Ryan's just not being careful with the football, trying to push downfield and not getting that same separation. Look, Julio Jones will have his numbers, but this is another week of frustration for the Falcons.
Yeah, but the thing I noticed when I was looking at the stats with the Cardinals is it's weird. Kyler Murray is thrown for a decent amount of yards. He's thrown for more yards than Mariota, Carr, Josh Allen, Stafford, and a bunch of other guys. However, he's only thrown 4 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. So he's in the bottom of the league when it comes to touchdown passes. So you look at yes, he is a rookie. But you would have expected a few more touchdown passes out of this Cliff Kingsbury offense. But obviously they're still young. They don't have a ton of players. They're one of their main weapons. Christian Kirk has been in and out of the lineup. But this matchup today with the Falcons, they're playing at home. This is an advantageous situation. The Falcons are giving up a bunch of points. They're giving up 30 points a game. 30 points a game they're giving up. So you know the Cardinals are going to be able to find the end zone, and the Falcons are only scoring 20 points a game themselves. So you put yourself in a bad situation all the time when you're running a deficit, when you're giving up more points than you're actually scoring.
Yeah, I mean, there's the difficulty for the red zone offense has just been terrible for Atlanta. And then we look at, for Arizona, the thing that's most intriguing to me, Kyler Murray starting to run a little bit more. They're opening up that offense to him. So now you're seeing him use the wheels. First couple of weeks, try to contain, hey, throw the ball away. But now it's, you want to tuck and run? Go tuck and run. And last week we saw that come to play in a big, big way. We've got a review of a potential Carolina touchdown on the board from London. We'll update that after the official's review of the goal line play. But let's move on to our next game.
Lady, what are you trying to do?
Redskins and Dolphins.
All right, Jay Gruden got fired. Case Keenum's back under center. You know where we're going to go for the analysis of this one, George? We're going to go to our guy, Vince Close, our executive producer. Vince, anything you want to say about this game?
St. Louis at Washington, Nats tip off Monday, 4:38 p.m. Pacific time.
Look at that. He goes to game 3 first pitch. I like that. That's my guy.
You guys are missing out on the most important storyline of this game.
That Adrian Peterson should carry the ball 37 times in what is like a farewell tour.
No. Oh. No, man. Both of these teams are 0-for. So the winner is going to have the leg up.
The winner is the loser.
Yes. Yes. The winner is the loser.
Okay.
So the loser is actually the winner because you were that much closer to fighting against the Bengals for the number one overall pick in the draft. Whether you want to trade it, keep it. This is an important game. This is part of the 265, 256.
I celebrate all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch them. I just wasn't going to try to perpetrate on America that this was an important game with grand ramification. I mean,
hey,
it
man,
is for the draft.
If you are a person who believes in tanking, which actually does not work, then this is a game that you care about.
Get all those draft picks, and you know we call them scratch-off lottery tickets. We talk about clairvoyance and crystal balls is really what you're looking at. Josh Rosen did get that vote of confidence as the season-long starter. I think the Redskins win the game, though. Case Keenum still trying to prove he's something in this league. Makes one play downfield, McLaurin, and then Adrian Peterson is going to get to run the ball because Callahan's there, right? Jay Gruden was like, he'll run it over my dead body. Well, here you go.
Well, okay, all right. So when teams fire a coach, they normally get a boost because, like Jack Del Rio told us when I got to Jacksonville, there are two things that happen. Coaches get fired and players get fired. And he said that the coaches just got fired, so guess who's next? So the teams usually have a boost, but Callahan is not their full-time coach. He's just an interim coach. So with that, the team may not get that same boost because it's dysfunctional. They are fighting with there's players fighting with the management over injury stuff. They don't like the way this stuff's happening. It is all bad in Washington. I'm taking the Miami Dolphins.
Look at you.
To not be the worst team in NFL history. But if they lose this game, there's no coming back.
There you have it. He's got Miami. All right, we got one more game. We'll update really quickly. A 1-yard touchdown run from Christian McCaffrey after 68 yards passing on the drive from Allen. Now 10-0 Carolina here with a minute to go in the first quarter. Next game.
Lady, what do you think?
Texans and Chiefs.
All right, here's a sexy game on the schedule. Want to give this its proper due because you've got Deshaun Watson going up against a little bit of an injured Patrick Mahomes, right? The ankle injury that we've seen in Chicago. This is one of these guys we should have had, Bull. That's the articles at Sports Talk Radio for an entire week as the Bears quasi enjoy a bye week following the loss in London to the Raiders. But Mahomes and Watson, Will Fuller has his coming out party last week. Finally coming off the injury, first couple of weeks had been slow. Comes up with a monster effort. You got him. You got
like
DeAndre Hopkins.
Fantasy points.
No, I played him. I played against him. I'm well aware of the 50-something fantasy points.
Did the guy you played against also have Deshaun Watson? Because
But I'll show you this. The roster I did face, I got absolutely bludgeoned. All his receivers had 35 points or more. It was one of the more ridiculous things I've ever been part of. But here's the question. Kansas City defensively, can they hold up against Deshaun Watson? They don't have a fierce pass rush. They're not getting home. So, and we saw Deshaun Watson a week ago, zero sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? You put that on a poster somewhere that you had that. Carlos Hyde running the football well for the Chiefs offensively. It's the next man up scenario. Sammy Watkins isn't going to go. Tyreek Hill is going to test pregame, but no guarantee that he plays. Travis Kelce still doing his things, but trying to round out the receiving core for Patrick Mahomes, who's a bit labored. Eric Fisher still out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that J.J. Watt and company, we're talking back-to-back home losses here because I'm taking Houston to win this game.
No.
Yes.
Man, no.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Look,
don't do it.
Indianapolis won with their two best defenders in street clothes
last week.
Malik Hooker and Darius Leonard were on the sidelines. You can still play man against this team,
sir,
because they're not explosive without those guys on the field.
With Tyreek Hill on the field, he'll be able to take the top off.
But is he
going to
be 100%? No. Is he
going to
be able to go?
Fine. It was his collarbone, not his legs.
That's fine. But is he
going
to be able to play? We don't know.
Even if they just run him on dummy routes and don't have him actually like taking a whole lot of hits or anything, that's going to open up things underneath. Because if they don't guard him, Mahomes is slinging it over the top, Mike. This is a hard game for me to raise his hand
high enough to catch it. How about that?
Wow.
As a guy who's got to have a shoulder surgery himself, I say that.
I am. This is a hard game for me to watch.
It's a difficult game.
Because I am. I'm almost getting to man crush status on Deshaun Watson. I like him. He's a good guy. He knows the game. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to his teammates. He shows up, plays hard. He wants it. And to top it all off, on top of that, the kid has got arm talent. He's accurate. He's fantastic. And then on the other side, you have another quarterback who is so amazing to watch. We're seeing a changing of the guard. Yes, Tom Brady is one of the great, well, could be the greatest quarterback of all time. But now you're sitting here like, he's not playing very well. He's not the best quarterback in the league. You wouldn't take him first, second, third, fourth, or fifth out of anybody right now. Maybe in the playoffs, but in the regular season, yeah, he's kind of air right now.
I'd like to see him with some speed options and guys that can actually catch him.
Man, at some point.
You got Julian Edelman and a bunch of.
You can
nobodies.
Only fight Father Time for so long.
No, I get that, but you're also fighting Father Time with a stick instead of the howitzer that these guys are. And
man, he might get N'Keal Harry back, their first round draft pick this week. Tom Brady's short on weapons.
Are you kidding me? Did you watch that game on Thursday?
Yeah, dude, he's been doing this for 20 years. So now all of a sudden,
Rob Gronkowski solves a lot of ills, does it not?
Yeah, but he was doing it with less. So now you can't look at him and say, "Oh, poor, woe is me."
But you just kicked him to the curb.
No, you have to point to Tom Brady's skills. He's having a diminishing skills, which are having a diminishing return because he's getting older. It doesn't mean that he's not great. It's just Tom Brady's getting old. And if you're taking a team right now, if you're starting your team right now, you got
Sure, I'm not taking
Watson,
a 42-year-old quarterback to start my team.
Well, you got Watson, Mahomes, Russell Wilson. I mean, even for this season, you don't think that if Bill Belichick had the ability to, that he would trade? Because, mind you, you know he likes to get rid of players.
Well, he's wanted to get rid of Tom Brady for a while.
So you don't think that he would trade him right now, straight up? For and maybe a couple draft picks too for Russell Wilson.
There's no question.
Okay, exactly. He's old.
There's no question that he's old. I mean, you just absolutely diminished and tried to demolish him. Man, I watched that game against the Giants. You couldn't tell those guys without a scorecard except for number 11.
Give me Kansas City today, man.
All right, he's got Kansas City. I got Houston taking care of business. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. We'll continue this battle off air and maybe video it for you later. I'm at Swollen Dome on Twitter. We'll get back into the games of the day. We still got a lot of work to go. Let's play catch up on Fox Football Sunday.
Here we go. 3-0 Carolina. And the fourth down play from out of the wing eye. McCaffrey, second effort, reaches out late. Touchdown, Carolina.
WBT on the call, the Panthers radio network. McCaffrey touchdown. That helped extend the lead to 10-0 Carolina. McCaffrey on the day for you fantasy owners. 6 carries, 14 yards, but he did have the touchdown. 2 catches, minus 1 yard. He does have at least 1 official drop in this game as well. Remember, the Bucs limited him to 53 total yards in their first meeting. Ronald Jones capped off a drive for Tampa Bay to bring them back into the game here in the second quarter. Got about 12 minutes remaining as we talk here. A big completion to O.J. Howard, 30-yarder.
Who?
Evidently, he felt pretty good after catching that foul ball the other day.
He decided he would catch some football.
He thought he'd maybe catch a football while he was at it. So, big catch there. Jones, 3 carries, 9 yards. The touchdown for your fantasy team, George Reister, at George Reister is where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome as we continue through our look of the National Football League. Just a great slate today.
Lady, what is that?
Seahawks and Browns.
Now we're talking. This is where the dumpsters can really start burning if this goes south again, George. Right,
man.
Last week, Callaway activated from suspension. Has the ball thrown to him at the goal line instead of falling into the end zone. That's how it was designed, right?
Yep.
Catch it and fall. Nope. Tips it up in the air. Picked. They go the other way. They score a touchdown, and they never look back. The 49ers then roll. But that could have been a much different game. outcome might have been the same, but you were talking about taking it to 14-10.
Yeah, that one catch was a big deal. But here's what I'll tell you about that. Honestly, that's one of the hardest catches for a wide receiver to make, is when the ball is thrown at your kneecap, like literally at your knees, because it is difficult to get the ball to go anywhere, because a lot of times you kick it out of your – you either kick it out of your hand or it bounces off your leg.
It's your body's contorting.
Yeah, it's a weird thing when you're catching a slant type of deal. So, but at the same time, he's got to catch the ball.
You got to catch the ball.
This is your job. But the Browns, the wheels are going to come off of this thing super fast if they do not win this game. That'll send them at 2-4, and they were preseason
Everybody's
champions.
Darlings, no question about it.
Not mine, because I had the Ravens to win the division.
Yeah, I had them third in the division. Obviously, Pittsburgh now going to Devlin Hodges. I think I get a mulligan on that one.
Yeah, and their two wins are against the Jets without Sam Darnold and against the Ravens, who didn't play very well, and Lamar Jackson had a terrible game. So if they don't win this game, they're going to be at 2-4, and their schedule is not easy.
No, the next month is just absolutely brutal. But when we look at Seattle on the other side, Russell Wilson making it happen, DK Metcalf is a better, more well-rounded receiver than I think he'd gotten credit in that. Look, you look like a straight route runner, like straight line runner, yep, coming in, doing some more specialty things. You got Tyler Lockett, and then we talked about Chris Carson, the number of touches a little bit earlier in the show. And you've still got Penny coming off the hamstring injury, but getting work back in a little bit. And Will Dissly, I see you fantasy owners. I will answer your questions. Will
Dissly,
the red zone man, and expanding beyond that. Seattle's winning this game. And Freddie Kitchens is going to have a lot of explaining to do. And I think the more finger pointing starts after this one.
100%. I know some people in that locker room or surrounded with that team as well. And it's getting to that point, dude. Yeah. And I love what the Seahawks are doing. I got them to win this game. I'm laying the points. The only curious thing about this game is that there's been some talk about OBJ trades and all of this, and Seattle could be a possible destination if that were to happen. And wouldn't you love to see Russell Wilson with a real live wide receiver like OBJ?
See, I always liked watching him. Doug Baldwin and he seemed to have this mind meld thing going. Baldwin's not there. Maybe he's the guy. Russell Wilson could be the whisperer for OBJ and Common. I kept saying, just figure out some way to go trade for Trent Williams and solve the fact that you keep putting out an offensive tackle that looks like the worst dancing bear we've ever seen in the National Football League. That offensive line is awful.
He looks like a Russell Wilson saboteur.
It's terrible. All right, next game.
Lady, what are you
talking? Eagles and Vikings.
Here's another good one. Eagles beleaguered secondary, right? Still got some injuries on that side. Kirk Cousins not throwing the ball as much. So we get into offensive philosophies. Used to be the pass first. Right now he's slated to throw fewer than 400 passes for the year. We're talking about a guy that routinely was throwing 600, wow, upper 500.
Dude.
Dalvin Cook, having a real running back and not trying to go by committee. Look, Latavius Murray was fine, but he's not a game changer. Having Dalvin Cook, you're feeding the beast. So long as he's healthy, he's seeing the ball. So you see the numbers of Thielen. You see the numbers of Diggs. Everybody falling. And Kirk Cousins, for his career, is still a 2-touchdown-to-1-interception ratio. But we know in primetime games, he struggles. If he's not playing in the 1 o'clock slot, there's something going on there.
Well, he's been struggling all year, no matter what slot they've been playing in.
Still completing 70% of his passes. But he's only thrown 126 passes in 5 weeks.
Well, that, and you're also throwing a bunch of checkdowns. He is caring about that completion percentage more than anything else.
Well, I think he's heard all about the turnovers, right? Because even though they're not as numerous as other quarterbacks, right? He was 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions a year ago.
Yeah.
But you know when those 10 interceptions are.
Which
is not bad.
Untimely.
3-1, yeah, they're just the untimely, really, we're still in a dogfight here, what are you doing kind of thing here.
His former teammate, who's now the Eagles linebacker, Zach Brown, who played with him in Washington in 2017, said, I quote, "Cousins, I think every defense is going to want that guy to throw the ball. For me, that's probably the weakest part of their offense is him. Everything else is good. They got a good running game, probably one of the best in the league. They have real good receivers. You just want them to pass the ball. You want Kirk Cousins to get it in his hands.
You know, we had the audio clip of that, and we played a little Zach Brown band under it. It was great.
Do you realize how bad that is?
With a little bit of chicken fried.
If you are an $80 million quarterback and the other teams are saying, oh, goody, we get to play against him. Let's stop the run and make him throw it.
Okay, first off, it's not his fault someone gave him a big fat contract. I think we can agree to that.
It's not his fault. I'm just saying if you're the guy.
Sure.
If you're the guy, whether you're making $80 million or whether you're making $8
million. And I hope he throws it straight through Zach Brown today.
If he throws, okay, somebody is going to eat their words today.
Kirk's a humble, quiet man.
and lies and tells us, I don't hear what people say on social media. I don't hear it. I'm not on it. Nobody, unless someone texts me. Yeah, right. When you're walking through the grocery store, people make weirdo comments.
Yeah, and everybody hears it. Don't ever believe that from any player. For the Eagles, they are a couple of drops away from being a dominant team from what Carson Wentz has done. A lot of the Mets.
Or just tackling Julio Jones,
well,
and then they're 4-1.
Well, don't. That was awful. That's almost as bad as Marcus May going against OBJ a few weeks ago. Eagles, Vikings, where are you picking?
I got the Eagles, but I do not trust the Vikings, even though after that whole Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen apology, not showing up to work, $200,000 fine, he did play better, and Cousins did throw the ball downfield a little bit more. So the Vikings, yeah, they got a little bump last week because they had some controversy, but it's back down to earth.
There you go.
Back down to earth.
All right,
them.
I'm going to take the Vikings at home. The defense makes a play. And
loser.
Then Captain Kirk, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I also said Jay Gruden was going to be fired. You were convinced he was there for the long haul and that everybody loved him at least through the
season. No, I didn't say anybody loved him. I was just saying if they were going to fire him, they would have fired him already.
And then they did.
Okay.
And out the door he goes. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back match. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. A couple more games left to go, but first we're going to go to Isaac Lowenkrodt. He's going to update us on the Rugby World Cup. Nah, he's going to update us on the NFL game. We got Carolina and Tampa. What's up, Ilo?
Cheerio, pip pip, and all those sorts of things. We got the Carolina Panthers leading the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10-7. 8:31 left to play, second quarter in London. The Panthers have a third down and 6 at the Tampa Bay 32-yard line. Jameis Winston, the Bucs quarterback, intercepted on the first play from scrimmage. That led to a 49-yard field goal by Joey Sly of Carolina. And then the Panthers drove 99 yards to make it 10-0 on a 1-yard touchdown run by Christian McCaffrey before Tampa Bay came back.
First and goal, handoff to Ronald Jones. Zigzags it away. 3-2-1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Nice little drop step and a wiggle to the right. And Ronald Jones scores a touchdown. And we narrow the gap. It's 10-6.
Gene Deckerhoff, the call on WDAE. And get this, Michael and George. Gene Deckerhoff is also the voice of the Florida State Seminoles. Yesterday, he broadcast the first quarter of Florida State's game against second-ranked Clemson before departing for a private flight from Clemson to Atlanta. Didn't miss much. Clemson won the game over Florida State 45-14. He then flew from Atlanta to London, made it in time for today's game, and he's broadcasting right now the game against the Panthers. And by the way, Gene Deckerhoff is 74 years old. And also, by the way, he might go 0-2 this weekend because the Panthers just completed a 25-yard pass to Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown. So they're now up 16-7 over Tampa Bay with 7:32 left to play in the second quarter and the conversion attempt pending. We've got 6 games coming up at 1 Eastern, including the 3-2 Houston Texans visiting the 4-1 Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorite, according to pregame.com. Baseball Saturday night, the Yankees won at Houston 7-0 in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Gleyber Torres a home run and 5 RBI. Masahiro Tanaka got the win, allowing just 1 hit in 6 innings. Extra point was good, so the Panthers now up 17-7 over Tampa Bay midway through the second. Michael and George.
Thank you, Ilo. Fancy a touchdown like that. Yeah, that's the tweet that just went out from the Carolina Panthers account as Christian McCaffrey bounces into the end zone, adding a receiving touchdown to go with his earlier rushing touchdown. So fantasy owners celebrating there. Jameis Winston, they did that. That drive came off a Winston turnover. Bruce Arians, I think, wanted to throw the headset at Jameis Winston. Another terrible pass. Nobody, no receiver in his general direction. They've already allowed 4 sacks this half. That hasn't happened for Carolina since 2016. And we're talking about a defensive line that didn't come in with much bite.
Yeah.
Coming into this game. But Jameis Winston under constant duress and just a problem.
Their defensive line hasn't been, you know, like pressuring the quarterback of old, but their defense has still been very stout. Like, they don't give up.
Bend, don't break.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, they let you get all the way. They'll let you pile up a lot of yards, but getting the ball in the end zone has proven to be a lot tougher.
And right now for the Buccaneers, they got to solve, because they've got opportunities on the outside. When he's gotten time, Godwin and Evans are getting open. You saw the pass to Howard. There's opportunity there, but you can't throw from the flat of your back. Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. You can go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Next.
Lady, what do you think?
Bengals and Ravens.
Ah, there we go, the Bengals. Should you start Joe Mixon? Only as a flex. That's it. That's the Bengals analysis. A.J. Green not back yet. Team vying for the mark of worst team. Like we've talked about with a lot of these freshman coaches struggling. Not a lot of opportunity there. John Ross out with the shoulder injury. He was one of your few bright spots on this team to start the season. For Baltimore, look, they get a chance to get right against another bad team. Right, because the last couple of weeks they've had the step up in class, like we were talking about with the Cowboys a little bit earlier, and they were not up to the task. Malcolm Brown, or Marquise Brown, sorry,
yep.
Hollywood. We'll talk about Malcolm Brown in a minute. Marquise Hollywood Brown probably not going to go here. I haven't seen anything definitively clear taking him out yet, but was not available during the practice week. But still, with Lamar Jackson, Edwards is going to play the tight end. You're looking at Mark Ingram, running back, and Lamar Jackson with his leg. Still too much for Cincinnati to overcome, but this is not going to give us any further clarity as to what the Baltimore Ravens of 2019 are.
No, but the important part is when you get to play bad teams, beat those bad teams.
Take care of business, exactly.
Don't let them mess around and hang around and you lose a game, because this is the difference between winning a division, because this is a divisional game, and getting to the playoffs at all. I do want to see Lamar Jackson take a better care of the football and see him more efficient as a passer. There are sometimes it looks like he does get a little bit rattled, and you have to take advantage of this Cincinnati Bengals team, which is bad. And I still feel upset. I don't even like talking about it, because I'm the guy who drafted Boyd, even though he did have a good week last week, and Joe Mixon.
Yeah, he'll pile up some PPR numbers for you along the way. There's no question. All right, let's get one more game in here. This is a big one here in Los Angeles.
Lady, what do you think?
49ers and Rams.
I really wish both of these teams were healthy, because this game is one of the marquee battles on your radar for today. George Kittle, a late addition, groin injury. My guy, Kyle Juszczyk. Why? Because I still like the fullback that can kick out and block for Matt Breida. Somehow he doesn't get fined for his wave, but Aaron Jones does. I'll never understand the way the NFL goes through its discipline. But Kittle hurt. You've got some tackle issues as well, right? Their offensive line is banged up as you go for Jimmy G and company, but you have that defensive line, which is about as good as we've seen in the National Football League. We watched them terrorize Baker Mayfield a week ago, but again, grain of salt, because the Cleveland Browns offensive line is garbage, absolutely garbage. But Todd Gurley, no speculating about him this week.
He's out.
Clay Matthews, broken jaw. And then you've got Aqib Talib. So three huge parts on that defense missing as well. And for San Francisco, we talk about the line being an issue. Staley's still out for another couple of weeks. You've got rookies in and trying to pick up. It's all just a matter of who can make one more play, I think, in this game. I mean, and Jared Goff has been anything but spectacular. They put up points early in the first couple of weeks, but other than finding Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff has been pedestrian at the quarterback position, leading to a lot of chatter here on Sports Talk Radio and in the columns of Los Angeles Press.
Yeah, you're wondering, is he – there's so many people, he's elite. Well, elite quarterbacks are guys that can – you can put the game on their shoulders, put them in adverse situations, and they find a way to get it done. I mean, that's why I don't consider Matt Ryan elite, and that's who Jared Goff kind of looks like now. He's an accurate passer, got all the arm talent, has the intangibles, all of that. But there's something about guys that takes them from, you know, the Matt Ryans to being a Russell Wilson, to being a Patrick Mahomes. You know, that there is something, whether it's internal, external, or something, and we're wondering, and Jared Goff has to prove that he has that. But on the other side, you got Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not sold on him either.
No.
I believe in Kyle Shanahan as a coach and a play caller who's doing a fantastic job. But you look, he hadn't even thrown for 1,000 yards yet this season, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. This is more about this San Francisco defense who's playing very well. All those first-round draft picks on the defensive line are paying dividends, huge dividends right now, and they're getting really good production out of their backs. Tevin Coleman's back. Obviously, Breida had an awesome game last game, breaking that,
83 yards? Just to start it off, yep.
So they have a stable of running backs, so you don't necessarily need great quarterback play. You just need good quarterback play, and that's what Garoppolo's giving them. He's not giving them superhero deals, but it will be interesting to see how the team bounces back from this Richard Sherman controversy with Baker Mayfield. But I don't think
he also claimed he had the Monday Night Football job. I really don't believe anything that comes out of Richard Sherman's mouth anymore.
It's weird.
He's
dude.
A guy that's just making. It's like it's on tape. It's on tape. Don't be a dope. Dante Pettis and others in the receiving
Who?
Core. Yeah, exactly. He was the guy that exchanged jerseys with Odell and then took it back. That was kind of fun. And then you've got, you know, Marquise Goodwin. You got a couple of guys, but you don't have a game changer necessarily there. For the Rams, Malcolm Brown, and we'll finally see a little bit of Daryl Henderson. I'm still with all the chaos, and look, I like chaos. I'm going to take the 49ers on the road to win this one. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think this is a slugfest.
Yeah,
and defensive lines control the line of scrimmage.
I agree. I do find it interesting that Todd Gurley is out after us speculating for so long whether he was really healthy.
But now it's a quad injury, George, is what they're going to call it. We have one more game left. We'll have a couple of nuggets on it, and we'll get our fantasy ninjas of the week as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. You can go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Yes, next we preview Monday Night Football, and you actually want to watch the Lions, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
Going on silent count on first down. Allen looks middle. No receivers open. McCaffrey is, though. Left flat McCaffrey to the 20, to the 10. Spins away. Touchdown, Carolina.
I tell you what, Bruce Aaron's going to be singing this song in just a minute. WBT, Panthers Radio Network, on the call. McCaffrey, 2 touchdowns. We're watching a possession here from Tampa. They have a great drive going, and then on back-to-back plays, Jameis Winston in the pocket doesn't feel the heat once, right? The defensive tackle just tries to take it away. Fine. After the scrum, Buccaneers recover. Second time, rolls out. Plenty of time. Ample time. One Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi.
And he
scrambles. He gets out of the pocket. He's got wide open field. Gets chased down. Fumbles. This time, Panthers recover. And if the microphones had been on, there might have been a compliancy issue with what crossed my lips as I watched that unfold. Look, in the end, working in this job, you know, the Bears are the hometown team, but try to be real about whether they're good, bad, ugly, right? Likewise with every other game, no matter how much kind of picks we put together, I don't have a cheering interest. I just want to watch things unfold. But when you have bad play like that, bad offensive line play, and then Jameis having no concept of where the rush is coming, that infuriates me. He's like, come on!
Well, okay, it's not just that. It's the fact that he fumbled on the previous play. They were running a screen. It was covered up, so he pump faked, And as he was pulling it back, the defensive tackle hit him. So, like, that's not so much on Jameis. But the next play,
yeah,
after you just fumbled and your team recovered it, you're scrambling around. This is your fifth year in the league. Throw the ball away,
looking
Jameis.
For that heightened awareness of
throw
situation.
Throw it away.
And you at least got to come out of there with 3 points. Right, you got to go into halftime at least feeling like you've got a punter's chance. All right, here we go. We got puncher's game. See, because I'm waiting for the punt game because it never shows up because he fumbles the ball. Just ridiculous. All right, we got one game left.
Tell them on your mad
son. Lady, what is that?
Lions and Packers.
All right, Lions and Packers. Monday Night Football. The Detroit Lions defense playing well. The bend don't break. Certainly applicable there. Chris, you're a Lions guy. We'll give you the floor to analyze this briefly.
Real quick nugget here. You were talking about the defense. The defense is only getting about pressure on 22% of opposing dropbacks. That is only the winless Miami Dolphins has been worse. However, there's still only the ball is only being completed about 55% of the times against the Lions. They're relying on their defensive backs more than ever. Do you think that'll be enough to stop Aaron Rodgers?
Well, there's the question. You got some injury issues, Darius Slay, as to whether he's going to be available in full capacity, but no Devontae Adams out still with the turf toe. You've got MVS, you got Geronimo Allison. You're getting a little bit creative, and Aaron Jones was absolutely phenomenal a week ago. So the offense, look, the guy that I clamored for all last year, why don't you give him the ball? Finally realizing that. So when people say Aaron Rodgers isn't putting up Aaron Rodgers numbers, no, he's got a legitimate defense and a running game. So he doesn't have to go pinpoint and pinball numbers on a weekly basis. Doesn't mean he can't still make the throws.
This is a Monday night football game.
Yes, it is.
And it is outdoors.
Yes.
In Green Bay. And it's going to be a little chilly. It's going to be in the 40s or high 30s in the game. So this is Green Bay type of weather. Aaron Rodgers flourishes. And I just don't like you've been saying all season that the Lions are good enough to screw things up. And they can't, but they won't be able to screw up the Packers season. They'll screw up somebody else's season. The Packers will be 5-1 after this game. Aaron Rodgers finds a way to get it done.
Green Bay -4 in this game. I'm going to take the Packers, but I'll take Detroit in the points.
No way, dude. I'm taking the Packers on both fronts. This is one of those special games for Aaron Rodgers. He cares about the division, and I believe that LaFleur and him are doing something really good this year, and they're going to make a run.
All right, two quick things. Which game are you tuning to most especially?
Oh, I mean, the Houston and KC,
far and away, yep. Right? All right, give me one fantasy ninja for the week as well.
Malcolm Brown, when you got Todd Gurley out, he should get a lot of carries. It should be a big game for him.
Look at that, rising up. I'm looking at Adrian Peterson on one side, just feed him the rock.
I need that.
That it's like one of those 30 carries, 85-yard just
two
fall
touchdown.
Forward. Yeah, exactly. Just take care of business at the goal line. I'm looking at that. And then I'm going to look against your Tennessee Titans for Cortland Sutton to have himself
have to
a little
mine?
Bit. I don't know, because you keep claiming them. You get into your Marcus Mariota man crush. You got a Marcus Mariota shirt on as we're sitting here. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. Fox Football Sunday. Thanks for hanging with us. Enjoy the games, everybody.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.